Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. So, welcome to a special bonus episode of the Written to Melanin podcast, you guys. Today, I am here with author Celeste Hart. And when I tell you that this is one of my favorite people in the world, it is definitely one of my favorite people in the world. So, I'm so glad that she is on the podcast. So, just so you know, Celeste is out here making worlds and taking names, okay? She's writing books, she does professional illustrating under her alter ego, Becky Brown, and even makes her own video games, which I am personally excited about. So, in addition to a million other hobbies, literally a million, she loves yoga, meditation, and reading a good manga at the beach. So, welcome to the podcast, Celeste.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah! I can't believe this is the first time you've been on the podcast because I feel like I talk to you all the time, but also, I guess you're right.
We do talk all the time, though.
We do. I feel like between you, Audra, Amanda, and Neex, I feel like I'm talking to at least two of y'all every day, minimum.
That's about.
Which is wild because I don't even talk to people like that.
That's about right.
Yeah. But before we get into this episode, let's go ahead and introduce you to our listeners by your own words. So let everyone know about your million hobbies and everything else.
Well, I am Celeste Hart, author of Dragon Bones, the trilogy. It's about fantasy and sci-fi and all that good stuff, all black people, so, you know, we love that. However, today I'm talking about something a little off topic. For those of you that don't know, you probably don't know, writing fantasy and all that is my side hustle. My main job actually is technical writing, still in the writing genre, but, you know, slightly different. I come from a background of, you know, my father is a programmer, has been for over 20 years, and now we do work together, and I'm helping him with technical writing, writing documents and all that. You won't find it under my name because that's, you know, I do it under my real name and everything else like that. But that's why I'm here today talking about AI, because I'm actually sort of becoming an expert in this field because me and my dad are actually writing a book about it.
Which honestly, I feel like it needs to be talked about because I'm one of those people where, like, obviously I'm on the other side of it. I don't know nothing about chat. I don't know nothing about AI. It is completely out of my sphere, out of my realm of knowledge, right? All I know is what I have heard from the internet and, you know, other people's opinions of what it is. But until this morning, so obviously y'all listening to this will be in the future, but, you know, July 7th, 2023, right? Until this morning, I had not even, like, really opened up the app to see what it was about or what have you. And so I was just kind of like, okay. All I had heard was like, oh, ChatGPT is evil. And it was like, you know, taking books and using it to train, which honestly, I do still have very strong opinions about that. But being on the other side of it, you know, informed decisions and informed opinions at that matter. I was like, you know, I can kind of see how this could be useful in theory. And I feel like as with everything, there's like, even something that's helpful can have like a darker underbelly to it. And I don't know how I feel about that darker underbelly, but I also feel like a lot of the conversation surrounding it has been consumed with that part of it versus what it could do for potentially good things. And also, for you guys listening to this, we are going to be talking about ChatGPT as it pertains to writing. We are not getting into the conversation about art because that's a completely different conversation. And by art, I mean like visual art.
Yeah, that's a completely different conversation. That's, yeah, very complicated. Also, music and all that other stuff is really complicated. So we're just talking about writing because it's an atmosphere that we're both knowledgeable in. It involves both of us, and that's what I know the most about.
Yeah. So, that being said, let's start at the beginning. So, assuming this is your first interaction, like this podcast episode is your first interaction with ChatGPT, Celeste, can you, since you know more than I do, can you kind of give like an overview of what chat is meant to be, like what it's advertised to be or supposed to be?
Right. So, Actually, I'm going to take a slight step back from that. First, I want to address, what is AI at all? Because that's really what anybody really calls it. And it's kind of a very broad term because AI is used literally everywhere. If you use Spotify, if you use TikTok, if you use YouTube, all of it uses AI to give you your recommendations. That's how it knows what you're going to like, what you want to look at next. Okay. So AI by itself is just intelligent computers, right? Artificial intelligence. Taking a step above that, now we're getting into what they call chatbots. Chatbots are artificial intelligence that you can have a conversation with, right? So you can tell it specifically people prompt it, which means they're looking to give it input data and get a response. So you can ask it, what can I name my puppy? And it can give you some options, right? And what it's going to do is it's going to use its knowledge of a whole bunch of data and try to come up with, what are you looking to hear? You know, if you ever know anything about yes and, like improv, you can kind of think of AI or chatbots as understanding yes and, right? So whatever it is that you're looking for as a response, that's what it's going to give you. If you're saying, I want a dog name, it's going to come up with the most generalized dog names, like Bingo and Spot. You know, if you're not more specific, if you say, I want unique dog names, then maybe you'll come up with something like Sparkles or Peanut, something like that. So you have to be specific. It can only give you what you give it. So basically, a lot of people are somewhat upset because they're afraid of the fact that chatbots can also give you long stretches of text, right? We're talking about paragraphs and paragraphs. And, you know, if you use it enough, if you have people that know how to manipulate it in this way, they have the potential of writing books. They can write articles, for sure. They can write articles. So, and if you know anything about Hollywood right now, they're up in arms because Hollywood is trying to use ChatGPT and other models like it to replace their writers, so to speak. So That's kind of what the general topic is about.
And I feel like there's so much that you said that really like could be whole conversations, but that I kind of want to touch on because you brought up two things that I think as authors and writers in general, because you might not want to just write books, like you might want to get into screenwriting, you might want to get into other types of writing, but like writing in general, I think the big fear is exactly what you said, that people are going to use artificial intelligence to replace actual human creativity. And the conversation that I saw that kind of got me, I don't want to say anti-chat, but like kind of anti what people are trying to do with it. Because something that you said to me that I think people definitely need to hear is that it's a tool, right? And just like a hammer, you can hammer a nail, which is what it's meant to do, or you can, you know, bash someone's head in, which it's not meant to do that, but it can still, that's still an option that you have. And I feel like chat and AI in general falls into that category where it's just like, yes, it can for sure be abused and be used in ways that it's not meant to, but as an author, as a creative, it's not meant to replace people's actual creativity. It's meant to learn from it, but not completely take it over. At least that's kind of the gist that I got from actually using it, but we'll get into that a little bit later. But as far as it replacing writers, or what have you, from your perspective, like what's your take on that? Because I know for me, actually seeing how it works, and here's the thing, it's like my mindset even before the whole conversation, before AI, is that when you are a true creative, no one can do exactly what you do the way that you do it, and AI is always going to be powered by whatever you, like you said, whatever you put into it. So it's not going to be able to create something that doesn't already exist in some shape, way, or form.
Exactly.
And reworking it. It's basically like, if I give you a set of Legos, it doesn't matter what you create with those Legos. I gave them to you. And if I have a completely withheld set, if I got 1,000 set and I only gave you 10 to work with, whatever you created with that 10 is not going to be on the same scale of whatever I can create with my 990 pieces.
Yep. You know? So I think, you know, there are so many jobs when it comes down to writing, right? So let's say authors. Authors really don't have anything to worry about in my perspective, because at the end of the day, a reader is going to like what they like. And it is so hard to get a chatbot to create continuous content that makes sense over an entire, you can't even get it to continue a storyline for about 2 prompts long. So if you don't know how it works, basically imagine you're in a chat window, right? And you're telling the AI, hey, I want you to write a chapter. That's already difficult because the chatbot has a limit to how much it can actually give you at one time. Because of that limit, you have to keep prompting it, right? Mm-hmm. So the longer the text you're asking it to generate, the more it's going to lose the point because it starts to forget details. It has limitations. Without getting into technical details, it has limitations. It's going to forget the plot. You can tell it who the main character is. It will forget who the main character is. You can tell it what the plot is. It will start making up a plot by itself. So when I say that getting it to write an entire novel that makes sense from one end to the other would be an accomplishment in and of itself. You can't just run into it and just be like, oh, I'm just going to AI the whole book. It doesn't work that way. You have to, and this is something that, if you know anything about the AI industry right now, it's being used a lot by programmers, ChatGPT and other models like it are, because of the fact that the reason why programmers aren't worried about it taking their jobs is because they know that using ChatGPT requires an expert in the field. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you're not an expert in, for example, programming, you don't know when it's wrong. You don't know when it's getting the details wrong. So therefore, you can come out with something that makes absolutely no sense to anybody, but you thought it was cool because ChatGPT told you it was cool.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not already an expert, if you're not already somebody that knows how to write a book, and you're telling ChatGPT to write a book, you're not going to know when the book is crap.
Right.
You know? You'd have to be there with it every single step of the way to the point you're basically writing a book. So it really doesn't take away from, I would say, authors, period. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to things like writing an article, writing scripts, those are more so shaky ground, I would say, because it can definitely write an article. I'm just going to tell you right there, it can definitely write an article. You give it input, you give it data, you give it whatever it needs, it can write an article. That's just the truth of the matter. But on the other side of that, although it can write articles, I would say that it is interesting if you look at the job market right now, because right now there are jobs where people are not necessarily looking for writers. They're looking for prompt engineers, mm-hmm. which is another word for a writer mm-hmm. right now, because it's basically somebody that knows how to tell ChatGPT what they're looking for and provide the cleaned up data, right? We don't need all of the times that you ask ChatGPT for a dog name and it gave you Spock. Okay, we want you to tell us when it actually came up with something good. And those are jobs that are actually out about now. And I actually had a friend that just applied for one the other day. It was a tough interview. It was, you know, they asked specific questions to make sure that you're not just using the bot without doing any research behind it. So these are actual jobs that are still becoming relevant in our sphere. We don't know what that's going to look like yet. So that's, you know, again, and then screenwriters, you know, I feel like that's an area that I don't necessarily have experience in. That's not something that I'm directly involved in, but definitely I think overall we need to shift. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that this is a new change. There's no going back from inventing something, which is something I feel like people need to understand, which is that just because you don't like that something was invented, it really doesn't mean anything. Unfortunately, it doesn't really mean anything, because it's the same thing that happened when they made machines that could, you know, that could replace the factory workers. And a lot of factory workers lost their jobs, but although it's something to get upset about, it's not something that you can really undo. And you kind of have to go with the market and go with the new developments as they happen, which is why it's good to stay up on the, not just the fear-mongering news, but also on the news of what you can do. Because you really can't uninvent something. That's not how it works.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that, because that's kind of what I have noticed with authors, kind of the stance where it's just like, yeah, it's it sucks, but it's here. So you kind of have to learn to live with it. And it's interesting, something else that you said about how it could write an article. Because like I said, I was playing with it this morning and I kept a record of all the things that I asked it. And at first I just like started out with like general things. Like, what is this? Like, what is that? Just kind of get a feel of like how it interacts or like the questions or whatever. But then I started getting like more specific, like, okay, well, how far can this go? And not necessarily like related questions in the same thread, but just like general things related to writing. I was like, you know, I'm writing, my next book is going to be about a necromancer. So I just started like, what's a necromancer? Like, let me see, because I already have this information. Let me see how accurate it is when it returns to me. And then I got kind of not all over the place, but like, okay, I was like, well, how do I market a fantasy novel to 17 to 24 year olds, you know? And then it gave me, you know, answers. But then I was also put in there like, oh, which one of these between these, I was like, which one of these is the better opening line? And I was like, well, this is purely opinion, right? And I was like, how is it going to handle this? And basically it was just like, well, let's break this down. You know, this is what this sentence implies. This is what this sentence implies. And so the best one is going to be subjective because it depends on what you're trying to do with your story. And I found that no matter what question I asked, whenever it was leaning more towards an opinion, it was like, well, that depends on you and what you want. And what I found is that, it reminded me very much of what Google used to be like. In its prime or whatever, where it was just like you got all the information and it wasn't like, and it was back when, you know, you could like go through pages of Google returns to find all this different information. It wasn't like, oh, this is the one that people always check, and it wasn't in some like hierarchy or whatever. It was like, this is literally just the information. I feel like using it myself, that was kind of where the AI was. It was just like, it's an amalgamation of information, and it presents it in a conversational manner that's a little bit easier to digest. And it does what I personally, and if this hurts you, then I'm sorry, but take that up with your Jesus. But I feel like what chat does is what a lot of people wish other people did but don't, which is take in information from multiple sources and then form it into an original thought. I feel like that's what it does. Like, chat is just taking, like, if you've got 10 websites, it's going to like basically scan all 10 websites and be like, well, it looks like the best way to do this is this. So like, if you're asking like, well, how do I fry chicken? There are a gazillion different ways to fry chicken. Okay, but it's going to pull it from a bunch of different people who are like, oh, you should do this. Oh, you should do that. So the woman who's saying you should dip it in milk and then run it under water before dropping it in hot grease, it's probably going to leave that one out and be like, well, maybe you should coat it in oil and dip it in a breading of some type before you put it in grease and make sure your grease isn't too hot. Yada, yada, yada. That's just what it does. And the reason I say that it's what other people want or whatever, because it's basically just critical thinking. Like, you're literally just asking something to critically think for you. It's not anything that, honestly, if you put any time into researching it yourself, you couldn't figure out, because at no point was it giving me something that I did not ask it, if that makes sense. And I saw immediately, and mind you, this is coming from someone who was at the beginning of this whole, like, AI chat, whatever, was kind of like, I don't know about this, because like, why can't you just do it yourself? After using it, I'm really like, oh, this is literally just a tool. And if you abuse it, you are literally trying to abuse it, because like you said, when you're like, it only gives you so much response. Like, after like the second question, I realized, oh, it's going to stop after a certain point. It's not going to keep going. So if you are entering things into it to try to get something specific out of it, like writing a whole book, you know, like you're trying to misuse this program and the software in a way that it was not meant to be used. So that was kind of my take.
Yeah. And there are going to be people, because the way that these kinds of things works, and like I said, I'm getting into this industry in a more intimate way, so I do kind of know a bit of the ins and outs. For example, businesses are going to do business with the company behind this, OpenAI, right? So he was talking about writing a book. So there are going to be companies that are specifically going to license this technology and say, we want to write books with it. That's something that they might do. But again, it's entirely based upon the audience, right? It's based upon, if it's a good book to you, does it really matter who wrote it? You know, it's like, if it's a good book to you, then whether the AI wrote it or you wrote it. And I feel like this is something that's a little interesting to me, that the only real difference between somebody writing it and the chatbot writing it is speed. Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like that's what that's something that people really need to see that they're afraid of. It's the speed. It's the fact that it can write it quickly. Mm-hmm. Because obviously anybody can write something that doesn't make any sense, mm-hmm. right? The thing about these chatbots is that it can write it quickly. And because of the fact that it can write it quickly, we're worried because we know that this is an industry that loves quantity over quality. But, and this is why I also sort of feel like this is why people sort of need to be up on understanding what is actually happening, because you can take advantage of that speed as well. You know, I feel like that as a small business owner, I know that you're a small business owner, Chelsea, and a lot of people are, I feel like, nowadays. Being able to write blog posts and doing that consistently every week, it's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
You know, being able to write, oh, dear God, I will never write another book summary by myself again. I don't care who hates me for it. I am not writing a book summary again if I have access to these chat open AI things. That thing is writing my book summary. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things. Professional emails. Generating an email that's just, it's the same thing you always send, or it's something that you always send that needs a little tweak and a little things here and there, you can now take advantage of that speed, that mental energy that does not have to occupy your brain anymore. And it's like, in the same way that the industry can abuse that speed and say, well, we can use this to replace people because it can do things so much faster, we can utilize it too. It's open to everybody. It's something that a lot of people can use. And yeah, you may not be a business that can, you know, on demand ask for 20 books to be made in, like, I don't know, a day or something. But at the same time, people aren't going to want to read 20 books that all sound the same. They're going to want to read something that sounds like it came from an actual human being. And I think, and this is something that I personally came to the conclusion of, because I actually did a test. I tried to copy my own book with the AI, mm-hmm. right? I gave it my book description, I gave it what the book is about, and I tried several times to get it to write something similar to what I have. It sounds like a Wattpad book. Mm-hmm. It sounds very generic. It starts off very flowery and just, but none of it really sounds like something a real person would read, not even Wattpad audience. Mm-hmm. Because it starts basically giving a description of what it thinks the book is about and not necessarily how anybody would actually read it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it'll be like one of those things that you can pick up. It's just one of those like trash things that's just like people will read it if they just want to read one thing after the other after the other. And if they want to read a real person book, they're gonna look for a real person book. I really don't feel like that these two things are gonna compete for each other in that way.
Okay. I see where you're coming from, but I think on that part though, I do disagree. Only because from the aspect of like being self-published, there's already this hurdle of getting people to read your book and finding an audience in the first place. That's always going to be a problem. That's been a problem. Like the AI is not creating that problem. I want to make that clear. No. I think the thing, especially for self-published authors, that kind of makes all of us a little bit nervous about this is because, like you said, it is the speed. So it's just like, if you have, we'll call him Jimmy McJims, right, over here, and he's pumping out a book every week with a chat or AI or whatever, and it's trash, and everyone knows it's trash. It's just like, okay, but he has the right to do that. Cool. But what that does is Jimmy McJims is still going to be saying, hey, I wrote a book. He's still going to be creating graphics. He's still going to be marketing it. He's still going to be, you know, he still has potential to present it as a fully fledged book. And then the unfortunate reality of it is that a lot of people are the type where it's just like, if I have a bad experience with something, I'm not going to continue giving it chances to give me a bad experience, especially if I have to spend money. It's the same reason why people, if they go to a restaurant, they have a bad experience, they're like, I'm not going to this restaurant ever again. I might go to a different chain. I might go to the same chain at a different location, but I'm never coming back to this particular restaurant ever again. And a lot of times I believe self-publishing is treated that way, where it's like, if I read a self-published book and I paid for it and it's bad, now all of a sudden all self-published books are bad. Or even with, like you said, the speed, if he's pumping out a book a week, that's 52 books a year, and the likelihood that you're going to come across a bad one increases exponentially. There we go. Not math is not my thing. Exponentially. Right? So it becomes a question of how does this market shift for self-published authors, especially when trad is so hard to get into, if we regress the progress that self-publishing has made? Because currently 2023, right, a lot of books that are self-published are of or of better quality than traditionally published books, because real people are putting time and energy into it. And you can kind of tell as of right now when a book was just kind of thrown together to put up on Amazon, because that's also been the advice on the internet for a very long time. Oh, you need a quick side hustle? Just write a book and throw it up on Amazon, and that'll give you, you know, your royalties or whatever. Or, you know, oh, you need a side hustle? Just just start a YouTube channel and get monetized, and then you'll just have passive income. And it's like, well, first of all, to get monetized on YouTube, you need 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours. So that's not really a side hustle if you don't have a platform. And with Amazon, you can put a book up there, but you also still have to market your book. You still have to actually have content inside. You still have to do the thing. And I think because authoring already is difficult and does not necessarily pay a lot for a lot of people, it has to be a side hustle because they do not make enough off of it for it to be their main thing, even though that's what they would like. I think the fear that comes with AI, especially with people who are vocal about being like, oh, I'm writing my books with AI, oh, I'm doing this, oh, I'm doing that, it becomes, okay, but if I'm trying to write a quality book instead of just a fast book, because like you said, this industry values quantity over quality, then where do I fall on this? Am I going to be forced to write lesser quality books to keep up with the speed and use the AI? Or am I going to have to like give this up completely? Or is it going to be a thing where I'm not going to be able to sell my product because there are so many knockoffs, there are so many lower quality, people are no longer going to be willing to trust me when I say that my book is good? Because even in the scheme of what they're calling artisan writers, right? You know, even in that scheme, you're still run the possibility of getting a book that you don't like, you know? So I feel like that is the, I don't say the fear mongering, but I feel like that's the fear that a lot of authors carry. Not necessarily, it's not the tool, it's how the tool is going to be used to devalue the market in and of itself as a whole over time. And that's not something that you can really predict. That's just something you kind of have to ride out. It's kind of like if you're in a boat in the ocean, just because you see a wave coming doesn't mean you can do anything to avoid it. Like, sometimes you just have to ride it out. But I know, at least for me, right, because I've said this before, I've said this to you, I've said it on multiple platforms, I really have no burning desire to be a traditionally published author. That's just not something that I personally assign a huge amount of value to, as long as I'm able to write books. But that conversation changes if I am no longer able to self-publish my books, because people are like, oh, this is just another AI book, and I want to get a book that's through a specific publisher or one of the publishers that I know, because then I know that the book has been vetted by multiple people. And it goes back to that conversation that people had, you know, like the 90s and early 2000s when self-publishing was a brand new thing. It's like, I don't know if this is quality, and therefore this whole genre, this whole aspect of books, it does not hold as much value as a traditionally published book. And I feel like that's kind of where I personally foresee this conversation kind of going in the future. Like, and not even in the distant future, like very in the very near future, like 2024, 2025, like it's going to drastically change the landscape of self-publishing, you know?
Which, you know, is kind of interesting because, you know, you was talking about like the quality. If anything, and I mean, this is just my perspective, just, you know, if you're looking at the quality of books that come out. No. I mean that
it was just the way you did it.
The fact that
it just threw me for a second. I'm so sorry. Y'all, if y'all don't see this on the podcast, I don't know if I'm making a YouTube video, but the way she just threw her hand up on her chest, it was like, well, my opinion is. Okay, sorry. Serious, totally serious.
But no, see, but see, quality, you know, anybody, like you said, anybody can throw up anything on Amazon. Amazon has very low standards when it comes down to quality checking, you know, to the point that it really doesn't exist at all. In my opinion, I mean, to me, for example, something like Wattpad, just every other Wattpad book is going to be about just about the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a three-way romance. It's all, you know, the billionaire and his person, whatever it's going to be about. It's all very much so alike. And if you go to Wattpad looking for a unique book, you know you're going to have to do some digging, you know? And I feel like that the indie publishing atmosphere may become like that, where a lot of them are going to be very similar, very AI-like storylines, because that's going to be the new norm. And you're going to know that if you want something good, you're going to have to dig. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, I feel like it raises the bar a little bit.
Oh.
Because if you're using AI to write a book, then AI doesn't make grammatical errors. AI doesn't leave typos. AI is going to create a storyline that is generically good in comparison to every other book in the genre. So if anything, I feel like, you know, just like he was saying about, you know, picking up a book and having a bad experience because it was indie and you say, well, I'll just go to traditional. If anything, I feel like in the same way that people use Wattpad, they know that Wattpad isn't as good as traditionally published books, but they want to read something quick. They want to read something that doesn't take a lot of brain power, and it's just like everything else, and it's easy to read. And I think that indie publishing, could become that. It could become a place where people will start to see it as a better alternative because the stories are simple to keep up with, the quality will improve because the AI will be the thing that upholds the quality, and I feel like people will even be able to make better quality stories. Because if they have more access to these tools that allow them to use correction, allows them to use editing, allows them to use a lot of things that they would normally have to pay a lot of money for, it could improve the quality of these particular industries, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's why I say it really, you know, like you said about a wave that you can't really do anything about. I feel like if you're approaching it like kicking and screaming and just being so mad that it showed up that you can't really do anything, then you're not going to be in the position that somebody who says, okay, it's coming, you know, and I can sit here and fight it, or I can angle myself. I can position myself so that maybe when it comes, I can ride it out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I can see, I feel like it's one of those things, like, we can make predictions all day, because I can also see what you're saying, yeah, about how it could, in basically how I understood it, like, create a subset of writing where it's just, like, essentially, like, you're not going to Wattpad for literary brilliance, okay? That's just not what you're doing, right? But it's the same reason, like, in KU, if you're picking up a 100-page and it's, like, the billionaire is gonna be my baby daddy, and that is the title, like, you already know what you're gonna get in. It's only 120 pages, homie, and it's got 5-star reads where it's just like, I can't tell y'all what happens in the book, just go read it. You know exactly what that book is about, okay? I feel like the AI, hopefully, in the best case scenario for authors, it creates a subset within the industry where it's just like, okay, this is AI generated writing. Like, this is what you came here for. And I feel like, and this, you know, hopefully I'm not jinxing anything, so knock on wood, but I also feel like it'll be something that's specific to or impacts more nonfiction writers than it impacts fiction. Simply because, like you said, it can already write articles in nonfiction and it already pulls information from multiple sources. And like you said, it already has that level of fact checking and it doesn't make mistakes. So I feel like in a lot of ways, nonfiction writers are going to be impacted it could either be a very strong tool, or it could be a very strong opposition. It could honestly go either way, but kind of shifting from, like, you know, our personal, like, takes on it, I wanted to ask, like, you know, you've used it, I've used it very, very, very briefly. My use of it is minimal, like a grain of sand, tiny, right? But how would you recommend that authors use it as a tool instead of being intimidated by it? Because I feel like, speaking for myself, right, and I don't know how many other people listening are like me who don't know too much about it, I've heard that phrase, like, oh, use it as a tool, like, it can help you, but, like, how do you go, like, where do you even start with that? Like, how do you go about using it as a tool so that, like you said, you can angle yourself, position yourself, so you're not completely overrun by this wave or behind the curve?
So I think, I mean, first of all, and this is why me and my dad are writing a book about it, because there's a lot of things that you can do with it. It is pretty much endless. I mean, you pretty much can only understand what it does when you've tried everything, you know? But yeah, it's shifting gears from, you know, like what we're all afraid of. Like, a couple things that I feel like makes it very useful. So I'm going to address, like, a few different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So one, from the perspective of, if you are trying to get into writing, not necessarily as a book writer, but maybe even as somebody that writes articles, nonfiction, because that is something that I'm starting to get into. Or even if you're somebody that is trying to write about something that requires research, right? Like, on the ground research. It's very useful. It's very useful because you still need to be a researcher. You very much so need to be a researcher. You have to be the one that collects the data to give it to the chatbot. Okay, so, and that's something that I would recommend to a lot of writers, is to learn to be a researcher, learn to find information to give it, because that's the best way that you stand out as somebody. If you even use AI, if you decide to use AI in a professional scope, that you even stand out as somebody that uses AI, because you double check, you make sure that it's correct. You give it information when it's wrong, and you critique it to the point that this is not just a, you know, the AI spat this out. This is a human AI collaboration. And I feel like if you kind of approach it from that perspective, it opens up so many possibilities. So, you know, I talked about writing articles and things. You definitely have to be a researcher and feed it information. If you are a creative and you're looking to save time as a, maybe a business owner, things like that, definitely have it write emails. Definitely have it even write blog posts. I have no shame in my game. I use it to write blog posts. I use it as a sounding board. I use it to see, even if, like Chelsea mentioned about trying to figure out, is this a good idea or not, right? What it will do is analyze what you've given it and say, okay, from this perspective, it could be used like this. From that perspective, it can be used like this. If your goal is this, this may not be the best idea. So again, it's a really great sounding board, something to get ideas from, something to bounce ideas with. And I find that to be especially helpful because people aren't always available to you. People aren't always there to kind of give you the feedback that you want. And people are definitely not unbiased. Mm-hmm. You know, any number of reasons could be the reason behind why someone gave you a certain opinion. Mm-hmm. Whereas with something as unbiased as a chatbot, it's a lot easier to just get a broader perspective on what you're working on. And from that, I'd like to segue into, for authors of fiction and things like that, I would definitely use it for bouncing around ideas. I would even go as far as to use it to for editing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, if you give it the summary of the book and try to figure out where you may be lacking, or if you give it a part of a chapter so that it can kind of give you some feedback on, and does this kind of sound off? Is this sort of, you know, wrong? Am I getting something wrong? And it's, you have to understand that when I say wrong, when I say error checking, again, this is an amalgamation of information. It's using information from thousands of books and how thousands of books are written. And it's going to give you something that is generically accepted. So when you want the perspective of saying, you know what, I've been in my own head too long. I've been making up concepts and things that I don't even know if it makes any sense anymore. It helps to touch ground. it helps to touch ground and say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have a dragon that spews out rainbows and fire and ice, because maybe that is a little hard for people to grasp. You know, sometimes you need to touch ground. Sometimes you need a little bit of a reality check, and it definitely helps, in my opinion. So, and, you know, just talking about how exactly to use it, right? So, like I said, you very literally can fill up several books with how to use a chatbot like ChatGPT. But a few things to get started with are, one, approach it like it's a conversation. I think that's the easiest way for somebody to approach using the OpenAI tools, is to approach it like it's a conversation. It's already positioned to look like a chat window. Use it like it, you know? So just go in and be like, hey, I'm writing a book. It's about this. What are your opinions on it? I'm writing a book. It's about this, and I'm stuck. I have a character. She needs to, you know, come up and rob this bank, but I don't know how she gets away with it. What are some options? It's very good at that. You know, if you say, okay, I have a character and I want her to fall in love with this guy, but I don't know how to get them in the same room together for this particular scene, it can give you suggestions. So approach it like a conversation. It helps a lot. Another thing that you can do, again, is give it data. You can give it information about your story, about what you're researching, about what you want to critique, and let it correct you. Let it correct you in however way it's going to give corrections. And use it as information. Use it as your own data and say, okay, I now know what options I have. You know, another thing that it's capable of doing is to generate ideas. You can say, hey, you know what? I'm stuck. I'm trying to look for something. I'm writing a romance. I'm writing a drama. I want it to be about this, but I don't know what direction I want to go in. It can generate ideas. So there are a lot of things that you can use it for as a creative that I feel like if you're too busy being afraid of it, you're going to miss out on. Because there's so much. There's just literally so much. If you look into the website, and I highly recommend actually going to the, it's called openai.com. Okay. Openai.com. That's where you're going to find all of the information from the people that actually make ChatGPT and what it's used for, how you can use it, and what are the most common practices when using it. I feel like if you read up on that, you will have a much better understanding of how you can use it to help yourself.
Okay. Like, honestly, I have nothing to add to that because I'm like over here, like listening and learning and be like, okay, I'll try it out. Because one of the things that I'm doing, yesterday I started plotting my next series. And one of the things that I'm doing right now that I do before I start any book is I'm reevaluating my process. I'm reevaluating, like, okay, this is how I did this last book. This is how I did the book before that. This is what I've changed. This is what I tweaked. This is what I need to get better at. And for me, and I talked about this on the writing stream that I did yesterday too, I was just like, for me, my thing is, I know that I want to be more of a plotter. I want to have the series and the story more well thought out than I had with We Are the Origin and We Are Dying Gods. So it's like, knowing that going into it, that I want to have more details or whatever, I was like, let me start looking into what tools are going to be able to help me. And, you know, as you were talking, I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll run some of the ideas that I have through the chat and see, you know, how it interacts. Because like I said, it was very interesting to interact with it. And I will say this, if you are an author, I highly recommend just trying it out. Just even if it's just one or two questions, just try it out, get the experience, see what people are talking about. Because at the end of the day, I am very much a person who believes in informed decisions. Like, before you make an opinion, before you decide whether or not this is evil or you don't want to use it or it's going to harm writers, see what it is, understand for yourself what it is and what it does and how it can be used. And then that way you can make a judgment on the person using the software versus the software itself. Because like I said, the hammer example, just because someone beats someone with a hammer doesn't mean it's the hammer's fault for existing, you know? So I know for myself, like I said, I'm going to give it a try, and I want to see how it can be used as a tool. I want to see, because if it can make what I'm doing faster, if it can make it easier, at the end of the day, this is the same argument that I'm sure that people had when computers came about in the first place, and authors were like, but I have a typewriter, like, it works perfectly fine, it does this, it does that, I don't understand why it needs to be different. And now none of us have typewriters, and if we do, it's a relic, it's for for novelty. It's not for actual function. And I feel like, you know, the more I learn about this, the more it becomes something where, like, this is going to be a part of our reality. And it's very similar to how, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a millennial or you're Gen Z, it's very similar to how I think we feel about, you know, Gen Xers or boomers, where it's just like you have to adjust to the world that you are living in. Like, I understand it wasn't always done this way. I understand that you didn't grow up with this. I understand that this was not your reality, but, you know, we are moving into a new reality. This is an innovation. It's not going to be uninvented, like Celeste said. It's not going to go away. It's not going to disappear into the ether. It's not going to quietly die. And the reason you know that is because, or I don't know what you know. You might not know anything at all. I don't know. But anyway, the reason I say it is because there are so many ways that you already use AI that I didn't even think about until I really, like, had this conversation. And it's like, if you use Grammarly, if you use Pro Writing Aid, if you use any type of predictive text on your phone or autocorrect on your phone, that is AI. And like Celeste said at the beginning, if you watch YouTube, if you watch TikTok, the algorithm, we've been calling it something different, but the algorithm is just AI. The only difference now is that you can talk to it. If you've ever gone to a website and you were like, I don't really want to talk to a person, if you had to, like, go to your bank and be like, hey, you know, this isn't working right, or I'm locked out, or I want to change my PIN, and they were like, oh, you're trying to do this, is that correct? And you'd, like, say yes, and then they're like, great, I'll put you in touch. And they put you in touch with the right person in the right department. That is AI. The only difference now is that you are giving a freedom. You're not locked into the structure of it's already used for this particular company for this particular reason. It's just giving people freedom. But I think that goes to prove the point that the problem isn't the technology. The problem is the people using the technology, as with everything. Like, when things go bad, I think about it like how OnlyFans at the beginning was literally just meant to be like another alternative to Patreon. It was supposed to be a way for people to sign up to be able to, like, hey, I am your fan, I want to support you. And then it, like, morphed into, she got an OnlyFans account, he got an OnlyFans account, you know what that means. And it's not, she's out here writing books, giving you exclusive content. That's not what she's doing. All right. So it's just kind of like, you know, people are the ones who define how things are used and what they're used for. And so I think going forward, this industry is still going to continue to be that. Like, if people want to abuse it, if people want to make books out of it, then, you know, we will cross that bridge when we get to it. But I think fighting it and being angry, and like Celeste said, going into it, kicking and screaming, I don't think that's going to be the move. I don't. And I say that as someone at the beginning of this who was kicking and screaming and being like, bruh. And I think that's also, like, for me, one of those things where it's like, I feel like one of my strongest skill sets has always been being creative and always being like, I have ideas on ideas on ideas. And so I think part of it as authors is just our bruised ego. You know, that pride of being like, oh, the AI can now do what you do, and the idea that you can be replaced. And it's the same. I will say this, and I say it to my clients who sign up to, like, mentor with me or whatever, is that no one else can do what you're doing. So even if someone reads your books, and I say it usually in reference to when people are like, oh, but what if someone steals my book? If I'm, like, beta reading, or if I'm critique partner, someone steals my book. I'm like, well, first of all, you should have things in place where they can't just straight up take your book from you, first of all. But then second of all, I'm like, even if they take ideas from your book, even if they try to mimic your book, they cannot do it in the same way that you do. And you have to have faith that your skill is at a high enough level that it can't be replicated. Because here's the thing, the analogy, right? And I don't know if y'all grew up in a Black family or not, or if you've heard this analogy before or not, but I for sure heard it a lot growing up. And I don't know if it's a me thing or a culture thing, whatever. But it's the idea that if you have a glass of lemonade, right? And if someone comes along and takes some of your lemonade but fills the rest of the cup up with water or Kool-Aid, it's no longer lemonade, okay? It's something completely different. And that does not affect the fact that you still have a full glass. You have the capabilities to refill your lemonade and still have a full glass. what they're doing does not detract from what you're doing at all, and it's just going to be a watered down version because they cannot create what you can create. I don't know if y'all ever heard that before. It could just be a me thing, but my mom has definitely said that several times growing up to me and my brother, just being like, you have to be yourself. No one else can be you. So even if they're copying you, it's just a watered down version and you don't need to be worried about it, because people are always going to go for the actual lemonade versus the watered down version. So anyway, that was a rant. But y'all get what I'm trying to say. But that being said, you know, this podcast episode is getting kind of long. If you guys would like for Celeste and I to reconvene at another time to talk more about this in depth, for leave a comment or at one of us on social media. I'll leave the links down the show notes. But that being said, Celeste, I have one more question for you, and then we're going to wrap this up.
Sure.
And that's what I ask everybody who comes on the podcast. And, you know, obviously we've been talking about the AI and such, but we are still both authors. So if you have any advice for younger writers who are on their writing journey, you know, what would it be?
Yeah, definitely sort of building off of this conversation, be flexible. You know, he was talking about having an injured pride as an author. And I feel like something that I've really been learning a lot this year is how to use my skills in different ways that I didn't necessarily anticipate. So going into nonfiction writing and technical writing and all of those things was not something that I saw myself doing a year ago, you know, and definitely not pivoting my writing skills and applying them to making a game, a video game. But I think that being flexible and seeing how you can use your same vision, your same ideas, your same passion, and putting it towards a direction you didn't expect is, I think, a very powerful skill to have. And I feel like that is one of the most powerful skills that you can have in a world that is changing as fast as ours is.
Absolutely. I personally have nothing to add to that, because it's true. Like, you have to be adaptable. You have to be able to change. You have to be able to take things in stride and, you know, roll with it. That's literally what this whole conversation was about. So that being said, that's pretty much it. So Celeste, if you could let them know where to find you, then I'll wrap us up.
Yeah, you can find me on my website, celestehart.wordpress.com. Heart is spelled H-A-R-T-E, by the way. I'm also on TikTok, also as Celeste Hart. I'm on Twitter as Celeste Hart, and Instagram as Celeste Hart. Although, as we, I think Facebook is putting out a pseudo TikTok. I'm probably going to be on there when it's available in Spain. But I'll be on there, and I will still be Celeste Hart.
All right, there we have it, folks. So that is it for this episode of the Written in Melanin podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/CM Lockhart, or grab a copy of my books, We Are the Origin and We Are Dying Gods, from my website, cmlockhart.com. If you'd like to support Celeste, then please purchase her books and follow her on social media. You can also check out her artwork at her alter ego, Becky Sketchbook. I knew it. There will be links to everything in the show notes. And thank you guys again for listening. So until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.